The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we might see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
And once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back to our little rectory chapel with another little thought for you for the day. Okay, so the crowds say to Jesus here in the gospel, "What sign can you give us that we might believe in you?" And that is not an unreasonable question. Once upon a time, Jesus had said, "It's a faithless and evil generation that asks for a sign." That was a totally different context. "What sign can you give us," they ask, "that we might believe in you?" Reasonable people ask for a sign whenever anyone claims to have a message from God. Anytime anyone claims to have a message from heaven above, it is perfectly reasonable to ask for a sign. For example, I can't count how many times students who used to ask me, "How do we know that the Bible is true?" Now, I don't think anyone would have asked that question 60 or 70 years ago. Maybe it's a sign of the times that anyone asked. But it's not an unreasonable question. Okay, and you and I need to be ready to explain to anyone why we believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't have a question ready, an answer ready to that question, you're going to do more harm than good. You know, people who don't have a reason ready for why they believe usually just accuse the questioner. And they'll say things like, "You're a bad person. You're probably going to hell," right? This kind of talk does not change hearts, okay? Here's the sign. The sign is that Jesus Christ and his teaching and his grace dramatically change lives for the better. That's the sign. Jesus Christ and his teaching and his grace, which is given to us by the church and through the sacraments, dramatically change lives for the better, and the proof of that is in the lives of the saints. Saint Stephen was a sign. You just heard it in our first reading. Saint Stephen, unjustly accused, unjustly executed, put to death, and as he's dying, what's he filled with? Anger? Hatred? No. He dies forgiving the people who are killing him. Who acts like that? That is greatly good. And the reason is Jesus Christ. They said they laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saint Paul was a sign. He was a bloodthirsty executioner who wanted to do nothing more than eradicate the name of Jesus Christ from the face of the earth. And he became the greatest evangelizer in all of history. And Jesus Christ is the reason. That's greatly good. The apostles were signs. These fickle, weak, selfish, worldly, ambitious men were completely transformed. And they became bold, noble, sacrificial, and heroic. And the reason was Jesus Christ. If you look down through history, you will find nothing less than the cream of humanity, the finest people who have ever lived, are the ones who took the message of Jesus Christ and they lived it. These are the lives of the saints. I've said this before. If you ever show me any group of people who are greater than the saints are, I will sign right up and join their religion. I really will. But you're not going to find such a group because what they believe is true. What's the sign that we might believe in you? Down through history, great, great goodness that is dependent on him and his strength and his teaching and his power. That's the sign. Now, let me preemptively answer a couple of real common objections that come up whenever this point is made. Here's the most common objection of all. They'll say, yeah, that's true for a few saints, but the rank and file of Christians don't act like that, and it produces a whole lot of scallywags and sinners as well. The church does, so that's no sign at all. Would you be surprised if I told you that the church does not produce scallywags and sinners? And here's the reason why. It's because you judge a medicine by the people who take it, not by the people who don't. You judge the efficacy of a medicine by the people who take it according to what is prescribed, not by those who don't or by those who ignore what was prescribed. And the scallywags and the sinners are doing the exact opposite of what Jesus Christ taught. Here's another common objection. People will say, well, yeah, that's true for the saints, but I can't proclaim that because I'm not like the saints. On my best days, I'm 50% hypocrite. Don't think like that. We do not compare ourselves with any other person. Ever. And the only reason we compare ourselves with the saints or use them as a standard is because they tell us about who Jesus Christ is. There's two people we want to compare ourselves with. And only two. Right? Number one, you want to compare yourself with Jesus Christ. He's the standard that we're trying to live up to. And number two, you want to compare yourself today with who you were yesterday. Do not say, I'm a hypocrite. Don't say that. Say this, rather, I might not be who I'm supposed to be, but I'm sure as heck not who I used to be. And Jesus Christ is the reason. What is the sign that we might believe in you? The sign is that Jesus Christ turns sinners into saints, even if it's the work of an entire lifetime. Let's give him our entire lifetime and begin today. And maybe by his grace, he can make a sign out of us too. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us.